You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome to Victory Points. I'm Becca Scott.
And I'm Jake Michaels.
And this is a podcast about people who love tabletop games, interviewing other people who love tabletop games about the tabletop games they love.
Our guest today is Amy Vorpahl.
Amy,
yay!
Is it?
Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah, well, in the accent that you were doing, that was how I would pronounce it. Yeah.
That's my normal speaking voice.
I know that.
And you hit the H really well.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Amy is a host for Nerdist, Caffeine, a writer, amazingly talented actor, and a good friend of ours.
Oh.
She's a creator of the Twin Sister podcast. She can be found on Saving Throw Show and Geek and Sundry, and she's probably our most favorite person to watch roleplay.
Yeah, it's true.
What a fun little intro.
Yeah.
Y'all should write all my bios forever.
It would be my pleasure. I
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Welcome, Amy.
Jake, you read that really well.
Thank you.
You're doing all the intros from now on.
I just realized I've been reading your lines.
You were supposed to say that. It wasn't a hint when you said, I'm Becca Scott.
No.
That wasn't a hint.
No, I just read the lines out loud.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Oh, we're having so much fun already.
We're already having so much fun.
So listeners at home or wherever you are, today we will talk with Amy about, you know, her, what's going on with her.
Oh, I thought we were going to learn something here.
Nope. We're going to talk about Mansions of Madness.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
An excellent game.
Yes.
We're going to talk about house rules and funny names that perhaps your dad might call certain games. I want to know about the gaming dynamics growing up in a house with four sisters.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll get into some other gaming specific things as we go on. I don't want to make too many promises because
we have
to talk about those things.
Okay,
so
great. Yeah.
Those ones are for sure-sies.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be some, we'll continue to talk.
Oh my. Whatever could that mean? Wow, sounds exciting.
Yeah. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm stoked.
You should be.
You were on a scale of excitement going to rate your excitement.
All right, I'm as excited as I could possibly be. Why? It's 10:15 a.m. Like, I shouldn't be tired. But I'm a little tired.
I'm tired.
But you're kind of a night owl.
And it's Friday. I'm not... I don't know what the hell I am, but I...
Did you say an animal? What did you say?
A night owl.
Night owl.
I do like my nights, but I also like my mornings.
Mm.
But it's kind of like I'm a morning person, as in around 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. If that's when things are happening, I'm like, hey, everybody, good to see you. And then it all goes down.
Then it just peters from there.
Yeah.
And we're 20 minutes past the mark.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. Ooh. No, anyway, I'm super stoked. A 15 on a scale of 1 to 2. Actually.
Love it. Love it. That's the answer I was hoping for.
Okay.
There's a couple things I just want to shout out real quick. I want to shout out some Kickstarter games that are made by friends of ours that have funded ridiculously quickly. Dice Throne Adventures! And Season 1 re-rolled! By Roxley Games.
Roxley Games!
That's the kind of show this is. They have nearly $1 million pledged of their $80,000 goal.
$1 million!
And 17 days left to go in their Kickstarter, so don't help them. They're fine.
No, there's got to be stretch goals. Are there stretch goals beyond it?
You know, I...
Don't fund them. Your shout out ended with don't fund them.
You're welcome, Nate.
Nate!
Making so much money.
Becca, is Dice Throne's Adventures like an expansion to Dice Throne?
Yeah, it is. So there's two new characters that they popped out there. Dice Throne is a great game where it's very modular. There's two seasons so far, and within each there are a series of characters. It is a battle that can be 1v1 or 2v2 or 3v3 or 2v2 Did I say that one? It could be any V. It could be 1v1v1v1.
Characters
up to 6.
Versus each other.
You get it.
Like basketball.
Yeah. And I haven't actually played the Dice Throne Adventures, which is what this is. It's a co-op dungeon crawl.
Oh, hell
but
yeah.
With those characters. And you're all rolling dice.
That's
your individual
use of that.
Dice. Yeah.
So those it's mechanics a reimplementation. Conserve that well.
So yeah. Is it V each other where one team is the villains that inhabit the dungeon? And the other team is the adventurer?
I'm glad I know the answer to this question.
Oh, okay.
No, there's like stock monsters that you fight against. There's okay. Dungeon.
In the game. The game yeah. is the monster.
The game is the monster.
So how is it versus each other?
Well, that's in seasons 1 and 2.
Got it.
But you can reuse those characters and those dice because it's packaged very modularly. Each character is in their own separate little box, and that's all you need to play that character. And then so you could bring your own character to somebody's house and just, you know, adventure now.
Yay!
Yeah.
$1 million.
We like dungeons.
Yay.
Yeah. Also,
sounds popular.
It does indeed. It is extremely popular. Nate Chantelier. I might have pronounced that right, or I might not have. Something like that. Nate, good boy, Nate.
Good boy, Nate.
Yeah, pat yourself on the head for that one.
Is crushing it. All right. And Trial by Trolley is the collaboration. Yeah, it's what you think. That classic trolley dilemma. You know, there's a funny bit in that show, The Good Place, about the trolley dilemma of like, well, what if your best friend's standing on one track and, oh yeah, they have over $2 million now. So
$2 million?
Yeah, they funded like 4,000% of what their goal was.
Wow.
So Trial by Trolley is Cyanide and Happiness, which is that online cartoon that was wildly successful and continues to be, that is, you know, creepy stick figures saying horrible things and whatnot. And Skybound Games teamed up with them to make a fun little game, so...
They had an initial goal of $69,420.
Okay.
Yeah, $69,420.
And then
Trolley, $69,420.
They reached that goal in 44 minutes.
That's hilarious.
That's insane.
That is so funny.
So anyway, Kickstarter loves its games. Okay.
More those like the Trial things. By Internet Trolley.
Oh, okay. I do have one more shout out. It is the game that is not come out yet, but it's coming out at Gen Con, which is next week, but will be last week by the time this comes out.
Okay.
and it is Cryptozoic Entertainment is putting out Epic Spell Wars of the
Epic
Battle Wizards.
Epic Spell Wars of the Battle
oh, wait, hold
Wizards.
On. It's the longest title ever.
Oh,
so
it's still going.
I'm going to say the whole thing, and then you have to repeat the whole thing in your voice.
Okay.
Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards Annihilgeddon. Deck building game.
How's it start again? Epic. I'm just gonna go. Epic Battle Wizards of the Annihilgeddon deck building game.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Epic battle.
If you Google that, this will come up.
Yeah. Annihilgeddon.
Epic Spell Wars is a very fun, like 1v1. You're all playing, collecting cards in order to play spells to kill your friends who are also wizards. But it's pretty funny and cute. It was the source of my first argument with my now husband.
just throw memories. That out
there. Yeah, battle at Mount Skullfire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was what you one? Called the argument?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you get it. good thing that was with his clone. He knew. Send a clone in, and then anyway, the clone is dead. Great. So, Amy.
Yes.
What did we leave out of your bio? Where are you playing role playing games right now?
Where am I playing role playing games? I just played D&D in a castle. I played it in a castle. I played role playing games in a castle.
That is the coolest thing ever.
For those of you who don't know, D&D in a castle is like an adventure, a week long, 2 weeks long adventure in Europe where they go play D&D in various castles.
Actually, technically, it is 3 days, but the players play for 3 days, and I guess employed for 3 days, and it's a 3-day, 8-hour day adventure, and that's what you're promised. But the whole event had 4 different rounds, so technically you could play for a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay,
and just castle jump from castle to castle.
Castle jump in.
Castle jump in the UK.
What was your castle like?
It was Lumley, Lumley Castle, and it was
Castle.
You're saying Lumley.
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 Yeah, like Glumley, but without the G. Beautiful. We had a feast every night. Really decorative rooms. They provided a bunch of minis and Dwarven Forge for us to play with and build sets for.
Are you not allowed to have dinners there? You can only have feasts?
Yes, that's only correct. Feasts.
Yeah.
Only
in a castle. Feasts.
That makes sense.
And they had this like house team of, I don't know really what to call it, like a theater troupe.
Oh.
Like a theater troupe. So every night there was like a mystery dinner theater, or one night they had their... it was a variety show, comedy and music and everything. At the very end, they sang Master of the House. And then,
Master of the House.
Yes, and then they reprised it. And I was like, how did they know that we wanted a reprise? Like this was, it was everything that you're like, yeah, London, you're UK, give me the stuff I want. So it was delightful. And then I got to actually see two of my players who live in San Diego. We palled around when I went to Comic-Con.
They're
starting to play their own campaign on Roll20 with the same characters. And what I had four DMs at my table. It was very crazy. There was one time when they were like, we go to the library and we want to know more about this world and in character. So they just want to, and I was like, what are you doing? You're breaking my brain. Because I'm like, because
they want to live in your brain.
Yeah. So they're like, anyway, they're going to continue on with
lore. Were they randomly assigned a DM of the DMs
no,
at
they
the castle,
got to
or they chose you?
They chose me.
And all the DMs chose you. What does that say?
I think they want to teach me.
Yeah, that's
they,
probably
they
it.
Want
that's
to train
it.
They want to
no,
experience.
I don't know. They want to explore.
Wait, hold on. Continued a campaign
after, honestly.
In the world that you created.
That's right.
That's really cool.
Such a compliment.
Yeah. So I've written two adventures for Dungeon in a Box, which is a subscription-based thing that was just promoted on Geek & Sundry, which I couldn't believe.
At DBD RPG two nights ago.
They sponsored an episode.
Oh, that's amazing.
I had the best time.
It is an amazing, it's really great, and I think the best part about it is these subscriptions, they always... services. It's not the first of its kind, but what
it
does,
the best of its
kind.
It
definitely is, because it gives you what you expect: a map, some minis, all this stuff.
And it's once a month for $30-ish.
Around that, I think
$33 or something.
Go lower. It depends on how long your subscription is, but it gives you this adventure that is mainly written by David Krennan, who is a freaking genius writer, an adventure writer, and any tables, he paints an entire world. And even when I was writing for him, it was like I learned so much about world building just based on what he needed from me. And I think that packet where it's like, oh no, this reads like a regular D&D module. They all move together in this well thought out character arc that you are taking your players on. So it's
that's
really
great.
Really good. I can't. Yeah.
Oh,
and I
so
got
cool.
to write two adventures for it. So
that's so exciting.
I
what
one
are the
of
names
those
of
adventures. The first one was, it was Dragons in the Clouds, where it's you basically are in this fantastical world, not quite the astral plane, but you know where Jack and the Beanstalk, went up to the clouds. So there are giants up there, and like, I created a monster called a Drayshuck, which is a derpy cloud chicken, and I still can't believe he let me do that. And then the other one was I don't know if it's out yet, but it's called the Mines of Stonefast, I think. And it's like an underground, beneath a mining town like a big metropolitan city, but you're in the mines of it. And it's basically already war-torn from, if you think, the vibe of it is like fantasy civil war trenches and stuff like that. But then you're in the mines of it and you're trying to kind of kill the people in the mines but also hide and like protect a bunch of the villagers who have tried to hide in the mines as well. So,
whoa.
And you end in this great. He let me end it in a culmination. Is it a spoiler? It doesn't matter. In a forge, in a big forge under the city.
That's
so,
fire. What's a forge?
A forge is where you make blacksmithing or weapons.
Okay.
Yeah, it's what you think, but a giant forge. So I was thinking a comparison would be like old Moria, or like the mines of Moria, or even in The Hobbit, when they like are playing with the lava, the molten metal, as they're swinging around and jumping around. So
that is so
cool. You can do
cool.
that in an adventure. Yeah.
Were you at all intimidated to write your first adventure?
100%. Yeah, super intimidating.
How'd you approach it?
Well, I don't know. I felt really safe because David was, he was like, don't, he was made it very clear like why he was hiring me. He had written 12 adventures in a row. All, you know, around 15,000 words, tables, ideas. And he was not running out of ideas, but at that point, your brain is fried. And he's also trying to run this business, so he needed writers. And he's like, I'm, you know, hiring you because you are a fresh face. You know what D&D is. Even though you haven't written before, you're going to know what's fun. And then he did help me like with the outline and everything and be like, okay, so not this, but this. And we played around with a lot. And some things, a lot of the time, the notes was like, this isn't as fun as it could be. Let's make it more fun.
Put more fun into it.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, well, I'm going to go crazy then. He's like, yes, go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's how you got the Derpy Sky Chicken, right?
It's Derpy Sky Chicken. And then I made this other monster that I'm really proud of, which is, I don't know what it wound up being. I said it was a construct, but I think he wanted it as an aberration. I can't remember, but it's basically this, it's a metal, think of a metal pufferfish where it's like floats along in the mines. And then all of a sudden to attack, it just blows up and forms this wall with spikes, but there's two of them. And the other one comes out behind you and it forms this wall that slowly like claustrophobics you in and has spikes on both sides.
Way
to defeat it actually is like on the other side, it's very vulnerable. So if you can somehow teleport or whatever, get to the other side, you can stab the other side. But as it's coming in, who knows if the players would even, you know that.
Oh my gosh.
But it's basically this metal, this like sentient metal.
Wait, so that's in the second campaign?
That's in the Stonefast one.
Oh, yeah. So you don't know if anybody's ever made it out alive of Stonefast.
Yeah, so when do these release?
They release once a month, and I just don't know what, it's if it hasn't released, basically if you sign up, you won't get that Stonefest for a minute. Like you're going to start at the beginning in the Green World, and there are 12 in the first season, and then Stonefest is in, and the Dragons in the Clouds is the end of season one, so it's the 12th episode.
Oh, cool.
Episode.
When you start your subscription service, you don't get the April package, you get the first one.
That's right, and he is going to put it all together in a book where it's like, oh, you could just have the first,
That's great.
You play the whole thing as an adventure.
Oh, smart.
But yeah. The art's amazing. I don't know. I can't say enough good things about it. Oh. And I feel really lucky because technically, so it's written by David Krennan and Amy Vorpal because he did come up with not the outline for the adventure, but like the outline for the whole adventure. And then he like plugged me in and is like, this is what needs to happen. Anyway, it's written by both of us, but I had a big freaking hand in it. And I'm just lucky, I think, to have my name written on
that.
I spent a lot of time. I worked really hard on it.
Well, you should be so proud. I want it. I'm going to subscribe and only get that one.
Well, okay, cool. Well, I don't know how you're going to do that.
No, I'm inspired by all of them.
Well, yeah. I had a wonderful time. Amy Dallin ran a game for us.
Oh, cool.
I can't tell you the name of that specific adventure, but it was very, very fun.
Is it D&D centric or is it any systems?
It's 5e. Yeah,
okay,
it's only 5e.
Straight use those rules.
Yep,
cool.
Yep.
All right, well, we so often turn to talking about D&D on this podcast.
Oh,
once again,
okay.
We have done it. No, it happens. It happens. All right. Now, we're going to need to talk about your podcast, Twin Sister.
Okay, sure.
Because you are both a twin and a sister and
I am. Yes, I have three sisters, one of whom is my twin. So it's a fake. People are like, oh, you have two sets of twins in your family because that's how we named
twin
the podcast.
Twin sister.
Yeah, if you think of it like commas are in between, like that's a twin, that's a sister, that's a twin, that's a sister.
I love it that way. They're stupid if they think that.
No,
anyone listening who thought that?
To trick people because that's like more enticing and like, listen to this. And it's more just like, I mean, look,
anybody said, wait, there's only two twins on this?
Or one No pair? One's been disappointed when they find out that there are not two sets of twins. But our log line is so generic. It's just four very different women who just happen to be sisters. And the other, like, now I'm going to tell you all the gripes about it. So my big gripes is what I would love to do is to talk a little bit more about like deep stuff, like religious views and political views,
because they are
very disparate. And I've been shut down a bunch of times just because
talk about that.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. It would get into a discussion. And especially I would say if,
Is this because you're so alt-right?
It's because I'm so alt-right. Well, I'll say that there are
it's
some...
It's a joke. It's
there,
a joke, everybody.
No, no, no. But there are some conservative views among my family that I think are valid and I do like hearing, and that's why I like hearing and being open to it.
Absolutely.
But they definitely feel like now's not the time to be public about that. And like, you know, my following is a little bit more... is very left, yeah. And I'm pretty left.
We libtards.
I mean, yeah.
But not make
yeah,
that
they
a
just
thing.
Don't want
to
get roasted
that.
Online, basically.
Take it back.
And they no. they definitely are open
well, I guess
to having
it got a bad word in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Never had it to begin with.
I'm
very interested. See, if that were the discussion every time, that would probably cause more strife within your family, but I would be very interested
in an entertainment
to watch
for an
that
entertainment,
because so many people have to navigate difficult family conversations and want to be able to talk about where their views differ and how that's how we start to heal this huge divide of just starting a civil war.
Yeah, I think the other thing is one of my sisters is a lawyer, and I think she identifies. I don't
is
know
it
what she
your
identifies
twin?
As. No, she's not. Oh my God, my twin is an engine, an oil engineer, and a personal like finance coach and a fitness coach. Okay, then I have a
no big
then
deal.
I have a lawyer sister who has done patent law in New York and is now pursuing immigration law, but she's
very
also
cool.
A YouTuber and super creative and funny. And then I have another sister who's who has a master's in biotechnology and is a ballroom dance teacher. So there's like
ballroom dance.
Everyone's like, I'm so smart, but also I'm creative. You know, it's like, geez,
yeah,
guys.
And you fit right in.
I do fit right in.
unashamed to say, yeah, no,
but it,
no need
yeah,
for humbleness when you are this talented.
Yeah, it's really fun to brag about them.
Yeah, you're all so talented and interesting. All right. I have so many more questions for you about twin sister, about the things you're doing, about what is on your wrist, and I want to get into talking about some games. But first, a quick break.
I have nothing but wonderful things to say about this towel.
I don't know if you all heard that, but welcome back to Victory Points. We're here with Amy Vorpal.
Sure I am.
She's from Texas, y'all.
Yeah, y'all.
And Jake Michaels.
Hi.
Okay.
I'm from Washington.
He's from Washington.
Yeah, y'all.
Washington, y'all.
Washington. That's what we say.
Yeah, Texas. That's what some of my fifth grade teachers would say.
The state of Missouri.
Yeah, y'all.
Missouri.
Y'all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom says supper.
Mm-hmm.
That is a word.
Supper is dinner?
Yep.
Or is supper lunch?
Nope.
Supper. I've heard both.
Yeah, supper's lunch, right?
No, supper's always dinner. Dinner is either or. Dinner
what?
Could be
dinner can be lunch.
Yeah, or.
Oh, I thought supper could be either.
Dinner.
That's fucked up.
No, supper's always dinner.
Supper's always dinner. Yeah.
Supper's always the final meal
but
of the day.
You have dinner at noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It feels wrong, but you know.
I'm from
this
Texas.
This is the kind of topic you could talk about on Twin Sister. Controversial stuff.
Yep. Our podcast is really just for our parents because it's like, it's kind of like an analog, like, hey, this is what we're doing in this point in our lives. And it's really just us catching up with each other.
I love that. That was my other question.
I
literally
no real...
wrote down. Does mom listen to every episode?
She does, and she writes us emails with notes about how she remembers the events, and it's really cute.
Have you had her on?
We've had mom and dad on twice. We played a game with them, which was like, guess which one of your daughters this happened to? And the best one was... it was something to do with tampons because we're all sisters
with vaginas.
Yeah, and this one sister was like, I never got taught how to use a tampon. I had to figure it out by myself.
Well, we all did.
It was we didn't, because like your mom will help you or your older sisters should have helped you. So it's my youngest sister that was like, everyone in the family was like, Amanda's got it. She'll like figure it out, or someone will help her, just not me. And so the youngest sister had to figure out tampons for herself.
Oh no.
Yeah.
But did they guess it was the oldest?
They didn't guess right. They guessed right very few
they
times.
They thought it was you, Amy. They thought,
I can't remember
what mine was. There was a lot of things.
Yeah, we had a couple of, we like gave them a couple of things like, oh, I did this. And there's just so many. The first time Jenny called mom and dad to tell them she's married and she's got three kids. But the first time she was pregnant, called dad and goes, "Dad, who wants to be a grandfather?" And he goes, "Fuck, is Amy pregnant?" Because like they're all thinking I'm living this bohemian lifestyle.
Aren't you?
California.
Yeah. Huh?
Aren't you?
Living a bohemian lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, wild woman.
I guess you write fantasy adventures for a living.
And I am a sex worker on the side. So.
Yeah, that's what they assume the fantasy part means.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's really funny.
Well, let's talk about a board game.
Let's talk about a board game.
Yeah. All right. The specific game that I'm thinking of is Mansions of Madness.
Hey.
I assume you've played second edition because that second is the one that is
supported with an iPad. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So this was designed by Nikki Valens, published by Fantasy Flight Games. The second edition was put out in 2016. I need to know everything you thought about it.
Okay. Well, it was for... can I say his name? Or,
yeah, he's actually been a guest on this podcast.
Okay. All right.
But don't say his full name.
Okay, cool.
Six.
All right, cool.
You say every other letter of his name.
All right. I was on... What?
Oh, yeah. Every other letter. He'd be like a ship, like the JMS.
The JMS. I was on... it was for JMS's birthday. And so we actually played it ahead of time to prepare.
Oh, wow.
So we played the first adventure, and that was super fun. And then when everyone came and played the second, there were like six people playing the second adventure that we chose, and that was really fun too. And then we played another one after that. And depending on the adventure, I just have different feelings about each adventure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is Mansions of Madness?
Mansions of Madness, it's D&D. It's D&D where no one has to be the dungeon master.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where there's only one adventure. And you're kind of thrown into the mix. You have this goal and you discover what the goal is as you go. Everyone can participate. You can do any version of strategies of clumping together, spreading out and exploring. And then
the common theme being that you were exploring a haunted house or a mansion of some sort. And then there's a scenario where there's a backstory to that place, right?
Yes. And you're building the map as you go, very much like Betrayal games, as you explore. But the app tells you literally anything that's difficult about being a dungeon master or what have we done now? What have we done? What do we do here? The app takes care of it for you. So it's really that's the best part about it.
Yeah. So you're exploring. You can choose. You can use your actions this turn to go through this door to uncover this
there's
hidden
movements,
object.
Actions, there's weapons, there are little things you can pick up, there are spells, there are attacks, there are monsters. Yeah, it's got all of the mechanics that you might think.
I very much loved my one playthrough of this game, mm-hmm. and I love the Lovecraftian flavor of going slowly insane, earning insanity cards that make it more difficult to do things. And just the flavor text on the characters themselves. You have something like 40 different character cards you could choose from, right? Or is that expansions?
Those might be expansions.
I think I was playing with many expansions.
We had like 10, maybe 10
Still,
different characters.
A good amount.
A good amount. Two ways to die, physical harm or insanity.
Very Lovecraftian.
Yeah. Very Lovecraftian.
Very real.
And then what I will say is, I'll start with the third one. The third one that James and I played, which was just the two of us, we did not finish, and that was very exciting to fail. And what's also fun
stakes.
Is we don't know how we would have won. Like we know what the goal was, but we don't know like if we played it again,
what you could have done better,
what we could have done better. And then, okay, so that one was really cool.
Without spoiling it, what was the plot of that one?
The plot of that one is that the town has kind of gone crazy and the town's coming for you.
Oh, cool.
So you're actually not only playing in this hotel where you're staying, you're trying to get out of the town. Meanwhile, the townspeople have like, you know, whatever has gone wrong with their brains and they're trying to get you. So there's a mob mechanic, which is like
the mob has
too many hit points. Like don't mess with the mob, but also don't get... trampled by them, like hide from the mob is the only way to beat it. So that had its own cool mechanic. The second one we played that Jake played actually mm-hmm. with us, the plot was a woman has gotten trapped in the house. Where'd she go? Oh, you know,
always check under the floorboards.
Yeah, but she got trapped in another dimension, basically.
Always check in another dimension.
And I will say, once we figured that out, it was pretty rinse repeat, I guess, is in terms
it
of
felt, sure, it sure. felt a little linear in that there wasn't much of a mystery to solve so much as read the next page of the story.
Yes. Yes.
I did enjoy it, but I felt like it was a foregone conclusion. There weren't a lot of branches to explore.
No.
What were your characters?
Well, I don't remember. I've played three different ones. I think but it is fun to role play. That I think adds a lot to it.
I was Preston somebody, a rich man, a millionaire.
You were money man. And then Katie was Agatha, or like the old, she was like an old, very intelligent woman and very into you, or no, into the priest.
She was way into the priest.
She was into the priest. There was a priest.
Who
and then,
couldn't do it because he was
celibate.
I remember.
James and I co-played the smart little girl.
Yeah.
With books.
Love it.
So we were
the one in Men in Black that should be the one you shoot.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Something's missing.
Yeah.
And then the first one was also really fun because it was difficult. And no matter what you did, wherever you were, monsters appeared where you were. So there was no way to escape. Whereas in the second one we played, we knew where the monsters were going to appear basically.
Just don't go there.
So Or send the
or
strong person,
it, yeah.
prepare for it.
Or the small girl, because she really shouldn't be out at night with that many books.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, I loved the game. We want to play more. James was, having me look at, what...
What expansions?
What expansions, and I was like, okay, one of them I'm very excited about. I cannot remember what it's called, but in the description of it, on the app, when you're, going to choose, it says... Everyone will want to take notes on this because this one is a mystery. And I was like, holy cow!
Yeah, that's what you
want. We're going to figure this out.
Beyond the Threshold, Streets of Arkham, Recurring Nightmares, Suppressed Memories.
No. Oh, gosh.
Sanctum of Twilight, Horrific Journeys.
They all sound...
They all sound awesome.
Yeah, they all sound ferocious and
that is what I was kind of expecting. I was expecting a little bit more. Okay, we got to put these clues together to find out what to put to get into the other dimension. But it kind of just played itself out.
It did. Yeah,
I thought it was an interesting game too. Is that the app itself replicates what you have on the table?
Yeah.
So you're putting tokens down, and then you're looking at the same token on the app, and then you access it that way. That was
it's
a fascinating
almost,
mechanic.
Yeah. The tabletop and the tile laying. Almost becomes superfluous, but we like it because it's tangible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because in the first edition, which I haven't actually played, I just know that there was basically one player was the app.
Right. Yes. And that would have been... That person would have had to prep for hours beforehand. That person would have had to be the DM.
Mm.
Really?
No, I think you read from a book.
Oh, you read from a book?
Well, I guess
they have to sit out in the process and be the ref a little bit, right? The administrator of the game.
Yes, and be like, okay, which one are you tapping? Oh, is it that one?
Yeah.
It would have added at least a half an hour per game onto it just based on what the mechanics were, which is the least interesting part.
That's what was nice about the way we shifted around, too, is if someone had to step out for a second, we could all update them because we were all participating in the story pretty actively.
Yes, that's another thing.
Right.
Every turn, everyone decides who goes first. Mm-hmm. There's no you go. And that is how it is and always will be. And so it is.
Yeah, I like games that are, who has a strategic move to play right now? You go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Which only works in a cooperative
setting.
There was
a cool mechanic in the game that we played where it was clear the board. And we had to, we dove into the rules because we were surely not all of these 15 tiles we have laid out. Surely not clear that board. And we were looking through the rules and it was
everyone's face was like, duh, fuck.
the tiles went away. And then we figured out what actually was happening. But in that moment we were like,
they can't possibly mean.
What did we do wrong? Something had to
have
gone
wrong. Are we in trouble?
Yeah, yeah. But there's something like that in every game. I guess I've only played three, but every game you're like, no, surely not then.
You should have known, but fool
I know.
You once.
But it's always something
and then
different.
Fool you twice and three times.
Yes, exactly.
And
yes.
Then
fool me
knows.
Three times. I guess I'm just a fool.
Yeah.
And ashamed.
Oh, that's how that goes.
Yeah.
Okay. Final thoughts, Mansions of Madness?
Final thoughts. It's a real expensive game, and it comes with about 5 scenarios. And then everything else is an expansion, or you pay another $5 to download the app.
So you're saying Fantasy Flight is Genius.
I'm saying microtransactions in a board game format, which I just have some feelings
They're
about.
They're pretty big transactions.
But it's nice.
I mean, it is a
$5 for some of them, and then the expansion, if you need the physical, each one is $15. So it's like,
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but there are like 20 or 19 scenarios that you could actually play, and it does feel like even the third one that I played, I could replay. But the first two, I wouldn't be interested in playing again.
I would like to posit Rob Davio's point of view on this, which is when people walk up to him because he created Legacy Games, and they'll be like, this game, wait, you're saying I can only play through it 12 times or 15 times? And he's like, look at the board games in your collection. How many of them have you played more than that many times?
Right.
Very, very few. And so you can be mad at me if you want, but I'm just telling you how many times you're going to play it, so you're welcome.
Also,
that's
if that
true.
Breaks down to like $10 a game, that's like a way more
evenings
than $10.
You're sharing half of a movie ticket between all of your friends.
I will say the first game is $90, though.
Okay.
So so then you're adding on top of that every time. You're either paying $5 or $15. I'm just saying in... Look,
board gaming is not a cheap hobby.
It's not
no one ever said it was.
Okay, yes, but that's my note.
Absolutely.
Is that code names, you can pay $20, play forever. Forever.
A staple in every collection.
What's Codenames? Have we talked about that?
Have we talked about that game?
I don't know. Oh, have we? I'm sure you have.
Because it is a staple in every collection. I don't know if I've said my philosophy on it, because I used to say it a lot, but I think, I probably have said it, that Codenames is... It's so hard in this Kickstarter environment for one game to break through and be popular for more than a year or a couple years, because there's just so much great stuff coming out. Obviously, we love talking about all of it, but Codenames is the one that is going to make it on every shelf along with the Monopoly and the Risk and
Pachisi.
I did look up Pachisi because it was on your list of games you like, and I was like, we're not going to talk about that.
You're not talking about Pachisi? The oldest game, like, from freaking
India
ages ago.
It's called Pachisi, right?
It is called either.
Game.
Yeah. No, no. It's the same game. It's both. It's both or either.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Like the ancient Indian version like Milton Bradley version. No, I'm just...
But
I
they're
shouldn't
all
credit
the same.
It,
they're
you
all
know,
the same.
I thought I had never played this game, and now Googling it right now, I have played it, and I didn't
remember.
It's
basically Sorry.
It's like
as well.
The beginning of all board games. Roll your dice, move your mice, you know, like that.
Roll and move.
Roll and move. No, there are free spaces. It's very... It can be very strategic where you get your guys in or try to kill someone. You can block people. It is the beginning of all board games. I can't believe you don't want
to
talk about it. This is the beginning of board games.
I did
want to
talk about a different game, but you are so passionate. I'm just
passionate because you sloughed it off.
Okay.
And this is where board games came from.
I feel
bad
for... Yeah, let's talk about
Pachisi. We have to honor our ancestors a little
bit. Yes, it is definitely like a board game ancestor.
Let's do the homage. Let's talk about Pachisi.
Oh, we don't need to talk about very much, but there...
No, we're going to spend the rest of this episode on Pachisi because, Amy, you threw a fit. You threw a fit.
This is why I like it. So in this culture of board games and everyone becoming a fan, I'm part of it too. My family, I'll get them 4 board games every Christmas. We'll go through each of them probably twice, and then the next Christmas repeat, unless there's a board game that kind of again breaks through.
Codenames,
Century Spice Road, Splendor, just like any quick games that we can all play. Dominion, we've played a bunch. Okay,
excellent games.
But in that culture, you're just running to catch up. Like you're never going to break even on where the new game is.
Try having a podcast about it.
Yes. So that I don't envy you. But the way our gameplay used to be with my family, who is a big gaming family, a big Catholic family. My dad has 5 brothers and sisters. My mom has 8 brothers and sisters. And then we've got all these friggin' cousins. And every one of them, anytime we get together, it's just like, how are you? Good. You want
to
play dominoes? Like
Let's
it's just these games that we can all play together. It's Hearts, Spades, Dominoes, Pachisi, Rummy Cube. These things that like we've all grown up with. The great part is sit down, play, in half an hour, 45 minutes, you're done. Somebody won, somebody lost. Someone feels great, someone feels a little shitty, and then we're out. And then we can switch up the groups, or the same group can keep playing, whatever. But everyone's always got something to do because these games are anywhere from like maybe 4 people to, you know, dominoes could be like 7 or 8 people. Great. Parcheesi is interesting, and all of these games are interesting because of their repeatability. So having played it for 30 years, my dad knows these strategies backwards and forwards, could look at it like a chessboard and be like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Why'd you do that?
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Because I can.
So that's
you
both
know.
Good and bad, because he sees it as like, you're going to die. And you see it as like, I'm playing the game. And newer players are even getting more frustrated when someone's in there being like, okay, so here's what you want to do. And remember, you can do a block, but then you the only want to switch a block when you got a lot of people stacked up, because then somebody else will come behind them and kill them, or you can kill them when they move in front of you. And you're like, oh my gosh. And that no longer breaks my brain, but for new players,
it's someone, overwhelming.
You know, there's like, I think for board games, for me, it's tough when you first play a board game, you're like, everyone's figuring it out. And if you lose, it feels pretty bad, because you were like, well, if I had known.
Yeah. On my second playthrough, I will have a totally different strategy and perspective.
I will have a totally different playthrough. But there's so rare an occasion these days where you get this second or even third playthrough with
right.
all of the
Well,
new
when
games.
You're playing a 4-hour game, it's hard to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess all that's to say, Parcheesi is a good it's a good repeatability game, and I do think the way to do repeatability games is to let the person figure it out if they're new, and let them lose, fine, and just be like, yeah, next time this is what I would have done, but not in the moment. Like that has caused a lot of strife in my family, of in the moment being like, oh God, why would you have done that? You're gonna die. And they're like, these were the rules, and I did the rules.
When people are in that learning environment, they don't need the feedback yet.
They
need the feedback from themselves.
Yes.
They need to see their own failure and be like, oh, now I get it. And then I offer them a suggestion on the next game.
Yes. Yeah, so sure. there's a weird dynamic there, but I do like games where you can repeat them, because then eventually everyone's like, yeah, you lost, but I wouldn't have played that any differently.
I love that you got your family into things like Splendor and Century Spice Road too, because that starts to step it up a little bit.
It does. My nephews are the best at Splendor.
Yeah, my nephews love it too.
You know, why is it with nephews and Splendor?
Because they in their brains, I guess it's so simplified for them, but they know that to win you need 15 points, I think, and they like look at the cards and they're like, that one has 6 points, I want that. First move of the game, they reserve the 6 points. First move. That's
smart.
Their move. And is
no
it
superfluous
smart?
Moves.
Like, no, you're going to need a lot to catch up there. But they spend every next move of the game going for that.
Sure.
And then
you
they
never
win
have
immediately.
You don't need.
Like they win so quickly, and you're like, why wasn't I doing? I was going for the victory point cards at the very end.
Yeah,
or I was
the royalty,
building up
the patrons.
Yeah, I was building up my stash, and then meanwhile they're spending like 12 turns to get these 6 points. But then they have the 6 points, and I'm still got like
that's so
three.
Interesting, because they also don't have to compete with anybody to get the card anymore by using it on the reserve so early, which is kind of where everybody's strategy falters, is you're both going for that same ruby or whatever, and
it's
somebody gets it one turn before you.
It's by the way, that's how you win.
Yeah.
So do the thing that you would never in your brain,
so
like, because your whole brain is as an adult is like, must save things, then I buy, must save, and the kids are like, but I want 6 points.
Sure,
like,
take one marshmallow now instead of two later.
Yeah. So my nephews didn't play Splendor, but they played Century Spice Road, and they were the same way in that they looked at the objectives much more single-mindedly.
Yeah.
And that was kind of better, because when we were doing other strategies, we're kind of always looking at options a lot, and we kind of forget our first objective.
That seems counterintuitive as to what we, as older people, assume about Gen Z. You know, of like, this instantaneous gratification generation, they get everything on YouTube. They can't plan forward like we do.
Yeah.
And yet, the gaming.
And they're like, bird in the hand, mom. And you're like, holy shit.
And how often do we say to ourselves, oh, what was I going to do this turn? And we'd clearly been thinking about it 2 turns ago, but we got so distracted.
But when you know you want to be a YouTuber from the age of 5, you are so focused on that goal.
Yeah.
Or to even get ahead in anything, you have to know from a very young age. But before we move on, I want to explain, just in case anyone hasn't played Splendor, that the general idea is set collection. On your turn, you can either take gems or you can take a card. And when you are able to afford a card, it will give you a permanent gem that counts towards buying new cards later on. So it's an engine building situation.
I would say that Splendor is like
Century Spice Road is the better version of Splinter to me, I must say.
Yes, I agree. But that being said, Splinter is one of the best games for if you want to get your family into board games that are not just basic stuff. Mm. It's a great gateway game for families in general.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And I have been seeing, I don't know if it's your experience, but I have been seeing a lot more. I call them wish fulfillment games. They're not wish fulfillment games unless you actually want big gems, you know, but it's like they tell you what your wish is. Your wish is big gems. Now you have to build your stash or your deck to get the big gems. Just like the Bob Ross game was a little bit of wish fulfillment game where it's like, here's what you want. I'm telling you what your wish is.
Your objective is clear.
Yeah, your objective is
very
clear.
Very much like
you
his
must build
show.
You must build your deck to get. Yeah, it's. But do you know what? Do you know what I'm
yes,
saying? Though,
I
like,
do.
It's a very much like here's what you want right here. Here are options, but it's up to you to like achieve this very specific color based or gem based collection.
Whenever I'm explaining games, I've always found success, or I've always failed when I forget to tell everybody what the victory points are.
Oh,
like whenever you explain in the beginning, you're like, wait, so this is the goal. Now, everything I'm going to explain after is in service to get to that goal. But remember, this is the goal.
Right.
Yeah. You must always say the objective before all else, or people are like, I'm not following
anything. And they don't, because you keep telling them, you could do this, you could do this.
This is a wonderful segue into something I know you want to talk about.
I want to talk about all the things.
App games. I want to talk a little bit about Wizards Unite and Pokemon Go.
Okay.
All right.
We will do that right after a short break. Welcome back to Victory Points. Amy was just about to dive into
Pokemon
Go. What's
that
thing on your
wrist?
Wizards
Unite. Well, first, the segue was we were talking about objectives and having clear objectives and how that can make or break a game if everyone knows or doesn't know them and how simple it is. For app games, I think the best description of a goal should be verb noun. Catch Pokemon. Match colors for Candy Crush. Something very simple.
For Tinder, match hotties.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, binarily choose people.
that's three words.
Well, it is. Yeah, I put an adverb on there. Adverbs are fine. The Wizards Unite game does not.
Now, this is the Harry Potter
this is the Harry
version
Potter.
Of the AR app-based, phone-based phenomena that was Pokemon Go.
And I did, and it's the same company, Niantic, and I did play it for a minute, and then I'm just a little bogged down because there's so much to do. And it is unclear what you get for it.
Wizard like, hard.
Wizard hard. You get a wizard
it's a
hard?
A verb and a noun.
Oh, hard. Oh.
A verb and an objective.
I guess hard is noun, adjective.
Yeah.
Make a wizard hard.
No, and you got to do the wizarding hard.
Hard.
Yeah, you got to wizard hard. Sure, but that means so many different things. And also, at the end of the day in Pokemon, you have these little collection of little cute little monsters that you can show your friends. Some of them are shiny, some are cute. At the end of the day in the Wizards one, I don't understand. You just have some
collect
stickers
some wands?
And a book. No.
Even on average, how many people do you show your Pokemon to in a day?
How many people?
Mm-hmm.
I guess one.
Okay.
But
that's a lot.
But it's at the end of the day when James and I trade.
When he's gonna appreciate it. But
yeah, and he appreciates it.
But you said like that.
So
your
sweet.
Objective was to get stickers in one and Pokemon in the other. But what's the value difference?
So
to you?
The value difference is Pokemon has 900 different Pokemon. So some of them will be really good. Some will be really bad, just based on your individual value and combat power. In Harry Potter, everyone's sticker books look exactly the same.
Oh, it's
same.
Like the same award. Ugh, like so I got the
same
reds.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that. And I guess you can prestige a sticker book page, which makes all the stickers go away, and then you have to get the stickers again, but they're harder. You need to cast more spells to get them. Then also in Harry Potter, you can change your house whenever you want.
No.
You can change your
a house
wand
is for life.
Whenever you want.
Uh-uh,
and you can change
you
your profession. All of these, like an aura, a professor, or a nerbal, or no, a magic zoologist, you can change those anytime you want. Oh my gosh. So there's no like loyalty. There's no feeling of like, oh, our team is going to be better than another team. I imagine they have some things planned, but as of right now, there are a Pokemon once a day to get your like weekly quest, you have to do one research thing or a daily thing. In Harry Potter. You have 7 different tasks to do.
Okay.
All of which are varying degrees of out of your goddamn
way. I'm
going
to need the fans of Wizard Unite. Wizards Unite to at Amy on Twitter.
At me on Twitter. Tell me what I'm missing because I have played a lot. Like, I played a lot. There was a community day event.
You're thorough. You do your research.
All that happened were there were more things to catch. They gave you a little bit more XP. But beyond that, another sticker book. They just had another page for stickers.
So it didn't light up that addiction part of your brain.
No.
Because it wasn't clear enough. I like the way that you laid that out with the... A verb and a noun? A verb and a noun.
I guess collect stickers. I guess.
But that doesn't sound
the
as fun.
The one part that is very... Two parts that are very fun. Port keys. You literally get transported to another world in AR. Very fun.
Ooh.
Number two, fortresses where you do play with your friends as in Pokemon Go, like battles or gyms or raids.
Where's the fun in this game in that? Is it from getting the Pokemon or is it having the Pokemon?
It is not only having the Pokemon, it is having, it is being able to, it's having really good secret, IVs, individual values are secret stats for these Pokemon that you never really unlock. You can only determine it based on like an app. They now have rating systems, but it's having like, it's either getting a perfect or a really high level Pokemon that you can evolve and use to fight and battle each other, or it's a like getting a shiny, these special like rare ones.
But the game is the acquisition of that.
I think you're asking a bigger question, Jake, and that is...
Who cares?
No. Not in a drugstore way.
Absolutely not. Okay. Everyone cares, because what else are we supposed to do with our humanity, because we already have all the riches that the world can give, and it's just going downhill from here because of entropy. No, I think the question you're asking is about, is happiness an achievable state? Or is it an ongoing process? And it is the completion,
I guess,
of activities that create happiness, not the fact that they are completed.
I encourage you to just be in James's presence for half an hour when he's talking about Pokemon Go and to not be just completely charmed by the game. His enthusiasm is out of control. Like,
it's true. He has a good passion for it.
Yeah,
he's a passionate master trainer.
And like the things he texts you about community day and like what's going on
this
in the
is his
world.
Wheelhouse, for
it's
sure.
very, it's very, it becomes very important.
So I am gonna have to talk to him about Pokemon Go, even though I've only played for maybe a total of 2 hours.
Yeah, when you realize what's possible.
But yeah,
he got me leveled up from basically zero to level 33 in probably 2 months. It's crazy.
I guess the
congratulations.
What I'm asking is like, I think with the wizarding game is like, I think the wizarding part is what's fun for people. It's not necessarily having the sticker to show off.
Mm.
Whereas maybe in Pokemon it is the pristineness of your collection. It's not always the throwing of the ball many times.
Maybe the nostalgia.
Well, I did love the graphics. I loved the game until I didn't. And because it was so repetitive and I kept on getting, like with Pokemon, there are 900. So you could, maybe you're sick of Rattatas, but that doesn't mean, like every once in a while you'll get a Hoot Hoot and you're like,
and that's
I haven't fallen out of love with Hoot Hoot yet, you know? And in Harry Potter, they are... It is massively like 5 things that you get over and over. It's the same spell that you're casting. And I do love casting spells, like getting that right. But it's unclear it's very unclear if you get an excellent spell cast or a good spell cast or a fair spell cast, if that affects the spell at all. Because I've caught things on fairs and I haven't caught things on excellence.
I guess that's what's important to me.
You haven't caught things on excellent?
I know.
That's some BS.
I know. Some of them are really tricky.
As long as you're having fun playing the game, great. But like, I guess I was always worried of like, is it where you're not having fun, where you're actually working, and there's points where you're actually auto playing the game, because then the fun comes from what you've received.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's true too.
Yeah. Well, we need to talk about what auto-playing is, because we talked about that before the pod started, because I said, what is that thing on your wrist?
Yes, to level up, I guess this is a Pokemon Go slash a Pokemon Plus, Pokemon Go Plus, or a gacha. And what it actually is this little black dongle that is $40. Okay.
No judgment. It comes with
the wristband, and it also comes with the charger.
And yours is cute and confetti. Sprinkles.
Look, it arguably just looks like a Fitbit. Like I'm being healthy, and in fact, I'm catching Pokemon in the background. So what that does though is, like, when you're driving, it'll auto catch. When you're walking, it'll track your steps, which is another thing about Pokemon Go, is like walking is a big
that's
deal.
I love the exploratory nature of these games. That is very cool.
Get us gamers out the house. Yeah. We can sit for days.
And notice your surroundings a little bit.
And notice your surroundings.
Learn your neighborhood. I mean, a little bit.
Once you put some flavor on it through AR, yeah.
Yeah, but this will auto catch. It'll auto throw one regular Pokeball at a Pokemon. No spin, no nothing on it. And it has about a 1/3 catch rate.
I didn't even know there was spin involved. This is how bad I was at Pokemon.
Do a little curveball. And then, you wind up wherever you are after you've driven and you caught like 10 Pokemon, and you can go through and see if you want any of them or if they're good or whatever. And I guess the point of it is to have really cool, good Pokemon.
Yeah, it's a collection. It's building a collection. Game. Yeah, I get it.
And so, there's always another Pokemon out there, is what I've learned from my master trainer.
And your question was, where's the joy? And the joy is in collecting the cool thing.
Yeah. And then your friends play. So when you trade, there's also a chance for a Pokemon to turn lucky, which
what?
It bonuses it up a little bit. And I won't go into all of those details, but it makes it fun. And visually, it puts little bubbles in the background of the Pokemon. Very cute.
I love it. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have today. There's so many more games we could talk about, but we'll just have to have you back on another episode.
Okay, great. Yes.
Final thoughts. When being a board gamer, or a tabletop gamer, or any sort of gamer that is collaborative or involves other people, what is your advice as to how to be a better gamer?
Oh, shoot. Okay. I have had to deal with this, and you've experienced my journey.
I was journeying on my own, you know? So yeah. I feel you.
Of bad sportsmanship.
It happens.
And here's what I did wind up learning. Bad sportsmanship comes from a low value of self.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because
you
believe deeply that you losing means something about you.
Oh, there was a quote from your dad that you have said before. I think when we played Ex Libris.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Mm-hmm. Was that the one you're thinking?
The one.
Okay, yeah. So I was raised with that mentality. but no, I think since I've realized that, it's been like, okay, well, let's really like dive deep into what it does mean. Oh, it means something. All it means is someone has to lose by nature of what a game is, and someone has to win. And at this moment in time, you were the one that lost. That's it. It doesn't mean you're
dumb.
That's
all it is.
It might mean that you were a newer player to the game or games in general, and you might not have had the strategy that other people have. But it doesn't mean you're stupid, dumb, ugly, fat. Like all of these crazy things
things
like have entered my brain when I lose the game.
And I'm fat.
Yes, and on top of that, I ate a lot during the game. But,
right. It's not your fault.
But
it's all good. It's just a game.
It is when, but that would never work for me. Like when people are like, "Oh, this is just a game." It's like
you have to realize.
I had to realize, no. This game and me losing or winning actually, the definition of winning or losing does mean something else, and it translates very differently into what I feel about myself.
Yeah, like the value of your work is not the value of yourself, right? So
exactly.
If you fail at your work, it doesn't mean you are a failure.
Right, right. But
same
if you fail
games.
At a game, you're a dumb freaking idiot.
But
I've
moron.
Since I've
the value of your work is not the value of yourself.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So that's that. Yeah, Jake said it. That's my advice to gamers.
I love that.
That.
I think you hit the nail on the head about like how did you say it when you just said it right there?
I said, how did I say? Oh, being a bad sportsman comes from a lack of self value or self worth.
Yeah.
So true. So profound. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish for all of our listeners that if you find yourself losing a game, that you lean back and just say, you know what? I'm going to take this one.
Can I add
that
if someone across from the table of you is experiencing that, give a little empathy, because instead of like being pissed about their attitude, also realize
that's what they're going through.
They have a low
they're
value of self.
Yeah.
And maybe you can help them with that.
Maybe give them a little buddy punch on the shoulder.
But do not,
hey,
but do not
hey,
say
like
it's
time.
Just a game or a calm down.
No.
Calm down never
no,
helps.
No. We no. never say calm down. We say let's take a breath.
Has
together.
Anyone ever been told calm down? It's like, oh.
Oh, you're right. I should calm down, you mother.
Yeah, I've never not gotten more angry, nor has anyone else. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Amy, tell them where to find you on the internet.
Okay, I'm at VorpalSword on Instagram and Twitter. You can catch me on caffeine.tv/8thDimension every Thursday at 6 p.m. PT.
Amazing. Jake?
The at the Jake Michaels on every social media.
Make sure you put the before that first at.
Yeah. The at the Jake Michaels.
At the Jake Michaels.
You can find me at the Becca Scott. All right. If you enjoyed this episode of Victory Points, or even if you didn't, please just hit subscribe, rate and review. That is very helpful to us. And give it a share on your social meds.
Please.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.